noise as possible. "I'll be right out in the hall," the matron muttered in a disgusted tone. Blanche put her elbows on her knees and fumed. Thoughts scurried in and out of her mind like mice in an abandoned kitchen. "I should have known better," she told herself. She rocked back and forth on the commode. "Should have known." She wound her arms tightly round her body, comforting herself in the same way she did her children. She closed her eyes and saw the judge accusing her of being lower than snake shit. She opened her eyes, only to see where she was and where she was headed. She knew she should be making a mental list of all she would need in jail that Durham County would surely not provide. She should be planning what she wanted her mother to tell the children. She should be convincing herself that she could and would survive the next 30 days. Instead, she raged at the judge for being an unfair dick brain and at herself for ignoring all the signs of trouble coming. The way her hand had itched and throbbed at the same time as she'd stood in her kitchen reading the court summons. The way the glass she was drinking from just before she left the house for court had suddenly developed a crack while she held it to her lips. She'd ignored both events, despite her claim that reading people and signs and sizing up situations were as much a part of her work as scrubbing floors and making beds. She threw her head back to keep the tears from falling and wished the most vain hope of all, the chance to rearrange her life so that she would not be in this situation. "Should have stayed in New York," she told herself. "At least I made enough to cover my checks." And she could do a lot better there now that dot-com money was adding names to the list of New Yorkers with more money than anyone ought to have. But the day Taifa and Malik came home from school and told her about the man who'd tried to entice them into his van with the promise of a Run DMC tape was the day Blanche knew they had to leave New York. She'd gathered her children and her belongings and headed for the relative safety of Fawley, North Carolina, where she and the children had been born. And this was what it had gotten her. Why the hell hadn't she borrowed the money and paid it directly to the stores and utilities instead of writing those damn checks? "Too proud," she remonstrated with herself. Still dreaming, still hoping to find an employer willing to pay for a full-service domestic instead of the bunch of so-called genteel Southern white women for whom she currently did day work. Most of them seemed to think she ought to be delighted to swab their toilets and trash cans for a pittance. Fawley was not New York, or even Raleigh or Durham, and certainly not Chapel Hill, where there were plenty of professional and academic folks eager for good help. Fawley was still a country town for all its pretensions. The folks who lived here and had money, even the really wealthy ones, thought they were still living in slavery days, when a black woman was grateful for the chance to work indoors. Even at the going rate in Fawley, she'd found no black people in town who could afford her. Not that working for black people ensured good treatment, sad to say. Too proud. That was always her problem. The first time she'd been summoned to court about her checks, she hadn't known what to expect and hadn't asked anyone. She didn't want to admit that she worked 6 days a week and still didn't make enough money to take care of herself and her children. Her low salary wasn't her fault, but it still made her feel like a fool, as if she'd fallen for some obvious con game. "Hurry up in there, gal!" The matron's gruff voice ripped away all pretext that time was standing still. Blanche cast about for something to hang on to, something that would help her get through what lay ahead. Had she been the woman her mother had raised her to be, she would have prayed. Instead, she decided to get a lawyer. Should have had a lawyer all along.